you know, give, let him be his helper.
Yeah.
And of course, he wasn't going to get the money as he was. He going to work, you know, I reckon $1.40 an hour, and Willie was going to get $2 or $2.50, whatever he's getting. But he said, Willie, and I was him old brother, well, he could show me a few pointers, then I'd go into the cabinet shop and game them. And I could start off, you know, about $2.50 or $3 an hour. And I, now I know what he said, I'm nearly 50 years old, I could be making some of this big money too. But Willie just wasn't inclined to teach him.
Uh-huh.
Now he can go ahead and do the job, and you let him, you know, have his way and not bother him too much and get him excited. Well, he'll do it, and he gets through it, it'll be done right.
And come when he wants to.
And come when he wants to, and do it when he wants to. But that's his own cousin, Louise Rout, that's his cousin. Cousin Louise, they have a tie in the world. Louise says, I play. Says, Willie, come in here, you're going to fix this. She got a homemade cabinet, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she wanted Willie to overdo it. The door, you know, and hinge it wouldn't shut right. It wedged, and sometimes she said she'd have to pull, and it did come open. I just about fall over backwards. And she's a good heavy size woman. She weighed 200 pounds, but she's too heavy for her age, in other words. She has trouble anyway with varicose veins and kidney trouble, and have to go to the doctor every once in a while over Gainesville. But that's Willie's own kinfolks. And she had a time of even kinfolk getting him out there. Well, this boy out there raised up with him, he can't get him to do anything, so he just got this old tired carpenter in Ocala to come out there and fix his house.
Well, when kinfolks won't work for you, that's really something.
That's right. Well, he's not really kin to him, but like you said a minute ago, a lot of jobs, you know, but I'd want him to, you know, do something, and he called me to lose that well thing because he told me he'd get to it. But you say, he tell you he's going to get to something and never did get to it, see? And then I went over on to work while I had the Mexican and GP was looking after it and you know, seeing about paying them off, you know. And I said, go down there and get the money down there from Joyner. He's working with Buddy. Get it from Joyner or Dick Quiddin or Buddy, any of them, don't matter. And see if the nigga got the money because that's what they usually want. And this well, it wasn't fastened down. They're just sitting on top of a 4-inch casing, you know, an old hound pump. It's 110 feet, you know, drop casing in that thing with a urethra seal on the end of it. If you know something about well, you know what I'm talking about. And old Beckham boy, you know, got down there, got to going around and around, whatever, go around and around. And that thing just come unscrewed. It wasn't welded on there or nothing. It was just screwed on there, you know, about 1.25 inches or 1.5 inches, you know. Then another pipe inside with a drop seal on the inside the 4-inch well. And it did while the thing went to China. The well was 270 feet deep.
Well, you see, look at all the things.
And Willie was going to be, all he had to done, you know, would take some, he wouldn't have had to mix his cement 3-to-1 or 2-to-1 or 4-to-1 or what you wanted to, or ag slag or whatnot. You get this regular stuff, you know, about $1.70 to $1.80 a bag. Sacrete, I think you call it. And went on and just made him a little farm now, you know, just throwed it together. And put the screws in there, you know, where he could bolt the thing down, keep the thing from turning around. And he said he was going to do it, and did do it, and now and it's still in the well. And these people here, they won't, one of them said, well, I move the job over after $50, and I can't tell you where it'll cost you $30 or maybe $100 to get it out. But you got to make a tool, you know, go in that 4-inch casing and get a hold of that pipe to pull it in. And it went China, though, with that thing, maybe wedged in, maybe pull the casing too before it come loose.
You know, one of the first things Willie helped me at, there was a big pump down there. Ben Boyles.
Well, he's a pump man.
Yeah.
Willie's a pump man. That's what he was going to do to mine. But I wasn't able to put the jet on there. Well, then, didn't have electricity up there. They done burnt the house down and, The line was bunching all the way out to the woods. So it didn't have no light. That old lightning rod house was burnt down up there, you see. But this well was there, in other words, and the pump was there. So I said, well, I just, you know, go ahead and use that until I get the electricity back. Then I'll put a deep well jet on top of it. No, but I didn't want no submergible jippy now. He put a submergible on the bottom of here, and it stayed there about a year, and lightning hit it. By then, the guarantee was out. It cost another, I think, $380 or $480 to put another submergible in it. And I said, that hair boy, you know what, he wanted to sell me one. But I don't know it. I'm going to get a deep well top jet. If the lightning hit it, knocked the casing off of it, well, I'm going to get another casing and put on it. It didn't run the armor to it. Either I could buy another and put it on there myself. But to hire these people, y'all want $100 come out and put one in the well.
Yeah.
And not counting the extra, it cost about twice as much for a submersible does what it was on top of.
Yeah.
Well, I got one at my house, cost $80. It's sitting in Roebuck, but it's a 220. It's what it is. No, it wasn't. It's a heavy duty pump. And it pumped all the water from my house, Ernest, and all the cows.
Oh, really?
Because they're drinking now, because I don't turn them to the pond side. I got a pond, you know, down in my field like you got.
Yeah.
But when not on the pond side, why, they drink water, you know, out of the self water and back of the shed and the lot. But it works, in other words, and this hadn't been anything wrong with it, and it's been there for about 2 years. I had one of your jacks, pump jacks, you know, like, was this down here, Willie, y'all working with a jack?
No, it was a big old Berkeley. Whoa out.
Well, mine was a Myers. It's a Myers pump jack with a wheel. And the it had a cylinder that went down, in other words.
Yeah.
And it pushed the water, you know. And it, when it pushed, well, then the water come out.
Yeah.
I guess what you call a three-pipe arrangement.
Yeah.
But it had a belt and a flywheel pulley on it. And it was a mire. It's an old time one, just like you said, the Buckton. That was old one that really helped you with down there.
Yeah, but it's three or four horse.
And but mine is only
and
one
I'm
horse.
I'm telling you, it ran a little while after I come, and it would really make the water fly. And it was on a 2-inch pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what mine is on at the house. There. It's a 2-inch.
Yeah. And then one day it just went all to pieces. The bearings down there. I forget what it looked like inside,
mm-hmm.
but it was all gone, just gone. You couldn't even think about it, fixing it, and then you wouldn't want a big old thing like that anyhow.
No,
what they did, you see, in those days, people didn't have any money, and they bartered, they swapped around,
that's right.
And they'd find something, you see, that half
mm-hmm.
due, and they'd come on, time wasn't anything.
Well, that same old thing now, if you want to patch it up, well, you used to pour them doggone bearing and stuff, like you said, come out.
Yeah.
To the machine shop, in other words. They got one in Gainesville. And one over on Archer. It could take that thing, you know, and re-pour that thing, you know.
Yeah.
A bass. You know, use a bass. That bearing is what it is, in other words. Just connecting rod bearing, is what, I imagine the way you talk, it must have been what it is. And it wouldn't cost too much, but now and then, why, I make it be out of this world. Now, you say it bungles them, out of date,
yeah.
It's antique, and no reason bothering with it.
Yeah.
But did Willie, did y'all decide to fix it, or did y'all put another pump on it, or what did you and Willie do to it?
No, Willie didn't have anything to do with that. I'll tell you what he did. The old tank, 30, 40 gallon tank, rusted out, and we was going to put another one in, and I didn't know about it then. Except I knew he was wasting a lot of time. He was trying to take an old tank and get the rust out of it and put it back in out there, and did. And it didn't last no time. And I didn't know, you see, I just using his following his judgment. I kept saying to him, Willie, it seems to me like you'd make money by just throwing this thing away and going down there at Bill Wynn's and getting a tank that would last a while.
Yeah.
You see, once you get an old rust tank, it ain't gonna last.
That's right.
The best one you got ain't gonna last long, is it?
That's right. Well, that's what happened to mine, though. I had the same trouble with mine. The sister-in-law out there, and got the washing machine in there. She got one at the house. But hers is one of them automatic. And she's, at that time, she's working at Art's, you know, steakhouse. And them uniform, that old automatic thing, all they use soap and water. Wouldn't get a uniform clean. She'd come down and use that Maytag of mine, Wrangler. And it'd get them clean. Once in a while, she'd put a little bit of bleach in the water, but I didn't. I told her to use my kind of washing powder and they get them clean. She said, well, what kind are you using? I said, well, I'm using old XT or XK Tide. And I says, it may not smell the best in the world, no, but I said, I ain't getting it to smell. I said, I want to get clothes clean. I ain't wanting to smell perfumified, you know, like the coons do, in other words. And so she used mine about as much as she did hers, because it would get her uniform clean. And she down at Washington one day, and putting a handle in, I believe that bush hook, around there with a vise underneath the shed there, and I had this axe handle or what it was, and I had to trim it down to make a handle for a bush hook, you know, the similar to, you know what a bush hook is. Or it, and she hollered no, and I said, what in the world now wrong? Said, come here quick. And I run around the house there, go into the pump house, and she come out the door, in other words, and says that the tank is done busted, and it's put it all on the wall, you know. Well, it had the pressure on though, and it was just spewing it all on the wall of the building there, in other words. And it, one of those rough places on the bottom, it done come loose. Well, I went in other words, and it hitting the wall and bouncing back on the floor, in other words, and kind of got a little damp, in other words. Well, it scared of worse than anything else. I pulled a switch. Well, it wouldn't take long, you know, until the pressure come down. Then I got me a rag, in other words, and told her, I said, well, I'll get a stick and I'll drive a wedge in there, you know, with a piece of cloth. And on the wall, I got a piece of rag, you know, and got me a peg, you know, and whittled it off, in other words, like an old bung. You know what? You used to make a bung for a barrel. And I drove it in there and I said, well, I'll try it now and see if it'll blow it out. But I said, I don't think it's not 45 pounds of pressure. I think I don't believe it'll blow it out. You can go ahead and finish up. Well, got to get one, so let's go. I'll carry you, and we're going to see if we can find one. And I said, well, we might go down to Larry Williams, you know, down at Orange Lake. Well, Larry had some new ones, but none of the plumbing. I'd have to, you know, go up in a Bill Wind or Hinderbird and change all my plumbing, the elbow and fitting. Then I said, I'll tell you, I'm going to see old John Palmer. He handled about a little everything, went down there. John said, I got some new ones, but the little short type. I said, I don't want that. I want the long type. You know, look like a water heater. And it's round, but it's long. But most of these now, these 40-gallon, you know, short ones. He said, but I tell you what, some man has traded in one, the spigots and the pressure gauge and everything that's on it, and got a new one. Said, you look at it. And I told Ruby, I said, well, I'll look at it. Ruby, you know, she like you are. I want a second hand, and says, I'm going to help you pay for it, because we use water, in other words, and I pay for the current, in other words, and she said, I'm going to help pay for the tank. And because they using much water than I was. She using more of that automatic washing machine, because she telling the truth, and it was using more soap and water than it was anything else, wouldn't get the clothes clean. Because Ernest, I could see his wet clothes, wouldn't get them clean. So I went out there and looked at it, and it looked good. Now you say it had some rust in it, in other words, and it had the spigots, it had the pressure gauge, it had four files worth of nipples and plumbing fixtures on it, you know. And I said, Mr. Palmer, what do you want for that thing? He said, well, I said, I don't know. Says, he didn't tell me what to get for it. Says, how about $12? I said, well, I'll take it and try it. If it works right, I'll give you $12 for it. Said, yeah, but you better give it to me now, and I'll tell them, woman, I got the money for it. I said, well, what if I bring it back? Said, well, then I'll have to tell her. I guaranteed it, in other words, and give you money back. Carried on out the house and fixed all except the one that come to my house where the outlet was. Didn't have an outlet. There wasn't a way to cut one in the tank. I didn't notice, in other words. I didn't count how many, you know, outlets, you know, was to it. I knew the one, you know, to go into them at the ancient line, you know, it's on the bottom, you see. And I knew the one, you know, going into the well, it was up off the side about that high, in other words. And the one going to his house, at the ancient line, it was right on the bottom. I knew that was right, but I didn't pay attention to one, you know, going to my house and one going out for the outbuilding and the horse trawl and one thing or another. And it didn't have that, so then I said, well, I got to change it. I said, I don't know. I said, I believe I'll change it for going to the house and put it up to the front. But I said, I can't get the fitting and I'm going to have to use a piece of plastic hole, and I hate that stuff. But that's what I had to use, a piece of plastic hole with clamp. And it's pumping to the house. But I got a valve on it, in other words. Well, I'm cut the valve off, something that'll happen, in other words. And I got a valve, you know, at the edge of the house, you know, where the cold weather, you know, not this year, but last two years ago, I busted that copper tubing, the hot water tubing. And it just ruined it, in other words. Then I taken it out and used galvanized, two joints, 20, 42 feet. It had 42 feet of copper, half an inch ID, and it split it, I'm telling you, I don't know how many places. And I don't know, the water wasn't, you know, hot, but it was warm, in other words, you know what I mean? That's when it freezes the most, and it's laying on top of the ground underneath the house, you know, old type houses. But I done away with it and put a galvanizer there, and then I put a valve there, you know, at the end, you know, where it starts, you know, from the house there. And that's right. But that thing is still working. I got some Palmer. But it may be better than this new stuff, like automobiles, in other words. That thing now, in other words, a woman might not have had it for seven, eight years. But the one that we've had it ever since we've had electricity, REA. Right. So, you know, in other words, it had some age on it, and it just came to that right time, that lime water, it's lime water. Rush, you know, and eat it out. And it made a crack, you know, about that long. And the water come out, it's kind of brownish looking, but that peg, you know, closed it up. The old tank sitting there right on.
Everett, what's the first time you ever left home when you were growing up?
How old I was again?
Did you finish school? I mean high school.
Yes, sir. I finished high school. I was 6 weeks you know, and stay, you know, maybe a month or 6 weeks, something like that. But I mean, far leaving home, you know, to stay, you know, several years, I was grown. I done finished school, all the school, I reckon, when I went to Tampa.
Oh, yeah. First time.
That's right, when I went to Tampa. That's when, before that, I went up here and taken that, went to Jacksonville and taken the customs examination for civil service. That is, customs examining, that time they had this Mediterranean fruit fly and all kind of diseases, you know, when they had to, you know, they give so many applicants a chance to sign, and you'd pick your name according to the grade you made for your employment, you know, for getting an inspection job on the boats. What it was is a dock, you know, they call that the Clyde line, I believe, then. But that's where I was going to work. And I'd been down there seeing it all, because I'd haul fruit up there a little bit during the summer when I was going to school.
Yeah.
I'd pull fruit there from making open on a 10-wheeler, and finally a man got a trailer, in other words, and they pull up there and have to back down the alleyway, you know, and they'd unload your truck, you know, and put it on the boat. Clyde line boats, you know, and ship it. But I've taken that exam 2 summers and made right good grades both times, but didn't get on top. Then I said, well, then I was, you know, going to Tampa and go to work. That's when I left, you know, for good. But my brother Ernest was still there then. He was staying home. He hadn't gotten married then. And I came home, you know, once on a vacation or something or other, and that's when he told me he's going to get married. And I asked him who. I knew who it was, and he told me, you know, and I told him, well, you two not suited each other.
Well,
and they wasn't. They didn't stay together. So I must have had something to it. I never just said him that no more, in other words, because you can't tell your own brother anything like that. But I had 3 children, though, before we separated.
Well, now, you've done a lot of different things.
That's right. I went down there, and I worked down there, radio and had little television, not too much. I didn't like television too much. There's too much of that real high voltage, like this boy, you know, deal with this 32,000 jolts, you know, the old fellow says. You just can't make but just one little slight error, in other words, and then that's all she wrote. And it's bad enough with like the radio, in other words, because most of my work was automobile battery sets. And of course, you at 220 volts of kidney if it hits you right. And especially when it goes through a transformer, in other words, well, it can build up to, you know, the 400 or 1,000. And that's when I worked with it for a long while, in other words, and it knocked me off that stool. And the stool was insulated too. And that's when I decided to quit that. But what helped me quit it, in other words, we got burned out and burned all my technical equipment, that in my own meter, the testers.
Well, how did you get into that sort of line?
Well, I decided I wanted to, you know, learn a trade. I knew a little bit of everything. I was going to be a, try to do a little all of it. You know, what you talked about a minute ago, I was going to do a little all of it. But in the meantime, I said, well, I'd take this course here. Well, apprenticeship didn't last long. That's when I started to work, see, before to take, you know, a year or more. In 6 month time, I learned enough, and so I'd get on the payroll, see. And that's when I went down to that big shop down on Franklin Platt Street and stayed down there a long while and got tired of that. Well, the boss man and his wife, they broke up, in other words, and they got to fussing and fighting, in other words, and she come in there one time, and I don't like for a woman to cuss me, period. And she come in there and accused me, you know, of stealing stuff and this, that, and the other, and I hadn't. I wasn't guilty, in other words, and I was falsely accused, in other words, and it made me mad. And I couldn't do anything because you're a woman, see? But I could do one thing, I quit. Then they wanted to get me up that third, you know, with another, it wasn't a service outfit, it was, you know, I just clerk, and I was selling stuff, like a clerk in a grocery store, in other words, anybody can clerk in a grocery store, and selling parts. I knew all the parts, in other words, and knew the price pretty well, and they going to give me a kind of a little, you know, white collar job. And I said, well, I wasn't going to work with that. Then a friend of mine, you know, lived across the street from me. He said, get your job with a wholesale grocery company, Mark and Harmon. They want a man, says, your job would be checking out, and after you get on the checking out, they might give you a route. In other words, then you'd make more money with a truck route, you know, driving a truck. I said, well, I'll try anything. So I started with Mark and Harmon. That's down on Florida Avenue, way on down the end of Platt, next to the Viaduct, if you know anything about Tampa. Mark and Harmon Grocery Company. And sure enough, they did. They put me inside there, and I was checking the trucks, in other words, and getting the bill of lading, you know, what he needed, you know, get it all assembled, in other words. Then he'd have to check it according to his delivery, you see. I went to that, you know, a few weeks, and then they decided they'd give me a route, in other words. But I didn't like the route for the simple reason it was an old model Mack truck with a chain, a belt drive. It wasn't a chain drive, it was a belt drive. You've heard of them, I think. You older than I am, you ought to have heard of them. And it had that old bulldog whistle horn on the blooming thing, and it roughed the wagon. Them old big tire, you know, like a wagon wheel, you know. And had a belt to the chain. They call it chain, but it was a belt, what it was, on that thing. And they gave me that job, and my route was over to Winter Park, Winter Haven, Winter Garden. And turned around and come back to Ruskin, you know, and all that road, you know, down there with that old brick, you know, most of it, and it's narrow and it's rough. And after you get unloaded, all that meal, grits, beans, and what flour and whatnot, they had all of it then, you know. Most of it in those days, they're selling all that stuff in big, you know, pretty good bags. In other words, you hardly ever see, you know, much flour now in bags. They're usually in a little paper bag or something. Then they had it in cloth bags, you know what I mean. Sugar the same way. And sugar then, they had it in barrels even. That sugar in barrels. Had the old cheese, the cattage cheese. And I stayed with it a while, and I decided I didn't want enough of that. That's when I got an opportunity to come back home. And that's when I come back home to Mama and Papa. But I'd come home once in a while on weekends, you know, to visit my folks.
Well, how long was you off down there? 5 years.
I'd say, let's see, well, 40. You know, Dick and I went the same time. Dick went down, and he started with his, in the construction business with his uncle, John Burnett.
Oh.
Let me see, I was in the 40s. I come back and bought that brand new truck. I still got it on the shed. Old, it's an old truck now. And it's a 47 model. And that's when I started in the watermelon business. In other words, and I carried that new truck up. I had that Martin Chitty. That truck was brand new to carry it up there, and Martin was drinking that beer then. They didn't call it beer. They called that thing homebrew, I believe. You remember what they made homebrew?
Yeah.
Well, that stuff, it didn't smell good at all. I didn't bother with it until a cousin of mine up there, he wanted me to try it, and I was just a young man, in other words, and never did care too much about drinking the stuff, and he made it, you know, just like making a moonshine liquor.
Yeah.
Down on next to Trout River, in other words, he had like you see over at the Gulf, where you hide and shoot the ducks in. You know, old wire, no, sawgrass, and what do you call it? Sawgrass, patties. And he had him a still down there making that home brew, and he got me to try a little of it, and it made me kind of sick. I didn't like that stuff much. But Martin, he drank that stuff, in other words, and Martin, I'd held his money back on him, and he didn't like that much, but I said, you're going to throw it away, you know, because he drank that stuff and get feeling good. And I said, you spend all your money. And I said, your money is good. It's in the bank. I said, Raoul or Uncle Ernest or any of them vouch for it, your money is good. I got your money. But I knew he wouldn't have none when he come back. We left there about 6 weeks.
Well, you all were just seeing the world about that time.
Yeah. But Martin, he drove the truck, and I worked for the company, in other words. Then after that year, while Martin and Joy, this same boy, were going to buy this home out here. He's a printer in Gainesville. Said he would buy it, but he owned the home, and he rents it. And he could have bought his sister's trailer, in other words, and an acre of land there. In other words, for some of his children, he got some teenage girls there, and he got one boy, I reckon it's 12, 14. And the girl, one of them done finished and got a job. She's a bookkeeper or something. No, I believe she's a lab technician, I believe what they call her. Joseph Faye, I believe the name, Joseph Faye. But George didn't buy it, but Martin, in other words, he got grown children too, and he's kind of semi-retired now. He didn't care about it. He got a building to make, but they can't okay something or other. He was at the barbecue.
Oh, was it?
White-headed is his Uncle Martin, his name. I hadn't seen him in a good long while.
White-headed?
Yeah, his hair just as white as cotton.
White.
And Willie's older than he is, and
It wasn't the last time I saw him.
He's white-headed. But I guess maybe, I believe he came with Willie's daughter. They came and brought the baby with them. And Martin, I believe, was with them, and I believe Martin had them in his automobile. He got a, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 automobile he drives. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Eric, you've just been doing one thing and another.
I quit that job. That's when Christian come back, you know, and I worked the superintendent job. Then that's when I'd worked the seasonal job, you know, back and forth. And then I started the watermelon deal, you know, in March, and that was 47. The seasonal job with the watermelon, then I'd leave Florida and going up in Carolina. Then I'd come back.
Done that.
Yeah, and watermelon,
right.
That's right. And once in a while, I went on up that eastern shore in Maryland.
Yeah.
And one time, went on into Jersey.
Yeah. Everybody ought to do that one.
But you get to learn a lot, you know, a different method. Like you say, you kind of learn something.
Yeah.
And if you want to, well, you can get a lot of information from it. But it's going to say, in other words, that when Martin, he wanted to hold his money, and they got to Martin, he wanted to come back home, you see. And I knew that he wanted to have some money when he come back, because he didn't have nothing he could do. You know, the boys, they didn't have no trade, those boys didn't. Martin didn't. He plowed a mule for my daddy, he and Willie both, for a long while.
Well, their daddy died.
That's right. Before they out of school, and I think one or two of them had to quit school. They didn't finish school.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't believe either one of them did.
Now, he was a pretty enterprising fellow as long as he had his health.
That's right. That's right. His daddy made those sweet potatoes and sell them, in other words, and made the syrup and sold it. And I had a few pigs, you know, hogs. And always peddling pecan. They had pecan, a lot of pecan tree, you know, sell pecan.
Yeah.
And chicken, they sell eggs. Milk the cow, you know, they had their own butter. They made, you know, had a pretty good living.
And he got some work out of them boys.
Yeah, got some work out of the boys. But,
and then he got that bad heart.
That's right. Then he passed them out. Of course, he was ages, in other words, his dad was. He lived his span.
Oh, that's right. He married when he was 4 years old.
Yeah.
Well, what happened to him? How come him to do that?
Who is that?
Where is daddy? How come him to wait so late to start his family?
Well, some of them will do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some of them will do that. But she's getting on. Well, his mother's getting on pretty good. She's up and made pretty well, but she'd still get around pretty good.
Yeah.
My sister comes visit her every once in a while. She goes to visit her in Jacksonville. Her sister works at that glass factory.
Oh.
And she'd get time off, in other words, for sick leave, this, that, and other, gets a vacation. Used to, when they used to catch fish back there in them woods, you know, in them pond, while her sister come down and they'd go back there, you know, trudge back there with Willie's Uncle Jim. Did you know him? The one I'm with? Willie's uncle. He'd go with them, you know, rubber boots and carry the pole, and they'd dig the bait, in other words, and they'd catch a perch, and he'd catch a bass with a live bait, catch them one-mouth perch, you know, about like that, and throw them out in Three Pond and Plantation, Chinky Pen, and them different ponds back then. Catch a bass, and they'd catch 1 mile perch. Some of them be big enough to eat, big as your hand once in a while, but most of them be, you know, really pan-sized, shouldn't
yeah.
they? But you know, he enjoyed, you know, going with them, in other words, carrying...
Now, I lost out on that. Now, what is it?
Carrying Annie Pearl and Rosalie, that was his brother's wife and her sister. But they'd walk. I mean, walk 3 miles, 4 miles. They'd walk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, that's Willie's Uncle Jim.
Uncle Jim. And he married, he waited like a daddy. He married when he was 70-something. He married, she's some kin to me, Essie Pardee. That's Laura's mother-in-law, and Laura is insurance adjuster at the medical center. Got a good job. University of Florida, you know, it's a medical center. But he married Essie Pardee. I mean, he's in his 70s and had a big church wedding and had all the flowers and everything. Oh, one eyed fellow went up there and the.
You think it's back?
Somebody
when,
said they
when,
didn't. He stopped his head, you know, and went to kiss each other and said, I just couldn't stand to look at when they done that. I said, why? But
now tell me about that fishing again. Who'd he take with him?
He'd carry his brother, Willie's daddy, Willie's mother. He'd carry her and her sister.
Oh.
And they'd walk. Willie's mother and her sister from Jackson, Willie's aunt Rosalie. And she had a large family. Her husband was a railroad man. Willie's mama's sister's husband was a railroad man. And he died when he was right young, but she never had married again. But she still worked at a glass factory where they make all kind of glass bottles and all kind of tubes and whatnot.
But she wasn't doing that then.
Yeah,
when?
Doing it when she come on a vacation. And she's still working. And she's about, she must be 65, better than 65 years old. She's a lot older than I am. And Willie's mama, I think, is 70-some-odd.
And he
but
would take
but he was about 20 years old. Willie's daddy is about 20 or 25 years older than Willie's mother. Did Willie tell you that? I mean, you had to figure it out, though, if they married, you know, when he was 40 years old and she was a girl.
Oh, yes.
He had to be
now,
about 20
his
years.
Uncle Jim, his Uncle Jim...
never had been married, you know, and waited until he got about 70, and then he met Essie, another one, got
and
to court.
And he'd take them fishing.
Yeah, and he'd carry them fishing.
And where'd he go?
Back in the pond in the woods, in the hammocks.
Yeah.
Plantation, Three Pond, Little Rocky, Big Rocky. Go a little ways back there in the woods.
That pond?
That's the name of the ponds. Yeah, and that...
Big Rocky?
Yeah, call it the Burn Pasture.
Yeah.
They just sold that thing. Ben McLaughlin and some Jews on it. They just sold that thing the other week.
Yeah.
It's 1,600 acres in that block. And the undertaker man owned about 600 acres, they tell me, in Gainesville. Williams.
Yes.
Williams and Thomas. Isn't that the name of that funeral director?
And that's
one
where
Dick Williams. Isn't that his name? Dick Williams?
William.
Dick Williams owned 600 acres there.
And that's where he'd take them fishing.
And he'd
carry
them fishing.
Ponds.
That's right. And he'd just walk right through that pasture. That thing was fenced, you know, the whole 1,600, 1,700 acres of fence. And they had a gate thing, you know, back of the house, and they just head out there, and he'd have on rubber boots, and I don't know, I'm lazy, just have on regular shoes, or they, and they'd put it back then. I know at Three Ponds, not Three Ponds, Plantation, at least, you know, 3 miles.
And what'd they catch?
They'd catch walmouth perch and a little brim, and Mr. Jim would catch a bass with a live bait. He had them old heavy poles, you know, big old sinkers on corks, you know.
Yeah.
And he'd catch a bass. And they used to catch fish, too.
Yeah.
That's right.
Just fish out there just waiting for them.
That's right. And that's still a fishing place back there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was stocked, you know. Burns had it and built a little boathouse and ramp over, but that's where we used to catch our fish. I used to fish back there, and I'd do most of my fishing at night. Go down, you know, about 6 o'clock and fish until about 8, you know.
Oh.
And top water baits, and they'd jump on that thing, it sounded like oak trees falling in the water. Get GP Lightning sometime to tell you about it. And I carried him over there, and he couldn't ever go in the boat fishing because he couldn't swim a lick.
Yeah.
His mom wouldn't let him go on Orange Lake, wouldn't let him go on that lake over yonder, wouldn't let him go on Moose Pond, Johnson Lake, or no place. But he could, you know, wade around the edge with rubber boots. And fish. And one night, I caught about 3 of them big ones. Look at that. Get a 10 again. And I said I wasn't going to do it again. And you've been napping. I don't believe I left the cap in the.
Let me tell you, before you get off, let me ask you. What sort of what sort of operation has old Tuck Mac had back there all these years?
He has a kind of a little touch of, favoritism or anything from Ocala Lumber Company kind of helped him out, I believe.
Yeah.
I understand. I don't know great deal about it, but I wasn't acquainted with him.
Yeah.
Didn't he pass away here in a week? Did he die?
If he did, I didn't know it.
He was sick.
He'd been mighty sick.
Yeah, it seemed to me like, in other words, that they put him away. I may be wrong now, but I know, like you say, he was in bad shape.
Yeah.
I may be wrong. But the wife, Inez, she was a buck knight, in other words.
Yeah.
But I may be wrong now about that statement I made,
yeah.
But he had been in bad shape. But he got the place back there. He got some, you know, through his wife, people. Buck knight, you know, they had a little, in other words, but they...
Now,
I don't think they got too much money and other like that. I don't know the status of it, but he's always been a pretty good fellow in the Ocala Lumber Company. Helped him out, and they gave him a job, you know, helping them with the cow and this, that, and he got him a few head of cattle, and he's a likable sort of fellow.
And then he had all that range back there.
He had that range back there, fish on, all. But they finally, they closed up there when they got to having a party, in other words, with Cox and the big fellow McGamble. And that led was where they had the duck ride fishing. They only had a lodge over even.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether you ever been out that lodge or not, have
you?
But that's where the big boys, Cox had married, she married a chamberlain, Lillian Chamberlain. They had the rights in that, and this Hudson, Elmer Hudson, he had a place, you know, back there too, and there's several of them, you know, go back there, and they'd have the duck hunts and there, the fishing parties and whatnot back there, and they'd drink a lot and play a lot of poker. And Tuck, he'd be in that crowd in other too.
Oh, he would?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he'd go right along with them?
He'd right there with them. And they had another man up in Texas.
Well, now, Tuck,
he was kind of bad.
He couldn't lose as much money as they could.
No, well, he didn't have too much, but he'd just kind of sit in and maybe just have a hand or two and get out, see?
Yeah.
Lose it and get out, or sometimes he'd win a little bit, and I imagine Tuck with a type, and he'd quit if he got a dollar or two to the side. But I know he'd gamble myself. I didn't care about it. But he got a little favor to them, and they helped him out, and he done fairly good back there, and they still own a little land back there. I don't know what kind of cattle or how much he has or what he had back there now. But his health has been bad. He's been in bad shape for a long time.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't know I believe she quit driving the bus, didn't she? She got where she had to wait on him, and she had to give the bus up, I believe.
Yeah.
But she drove the bus for a number of years.
Yeah.
My wife, I know. Did you know her, too?
Yeah, I've seen her.
Yeah. But I know when they go by there, why they had the key, in other words, and they hide the key, and I raised up with them, in other words, and they let me go through the place there, you know, when the... You know, kept everybody out of back there, you know, just like I was saying a minute ago, you give the privileges of one or two, why then the first thing you know, they're going to have all their friends, and they'll have their friends.
Yeah.
They'll cover you up, in
that's
other words.
Right.
Well,
that's right.
As Johnny's brother said, but he knew it, they were going to do that, you know, and Martin was letting his boy come in, in other words, and Martin boy, you know, brought in another man, and that man brought his buddy in, you see. Then when they couldn't come, why, he came by himself.
Yeah.
And one time, he even brought his wife with him, in other words.
Well,
she helped him, you know, take the fish off.
What was it so likable about Tuck? You see, I've never known him except after he got pretty
well
half dead when I knew him.
He just, you know, just an ordinary sort of fella. He'd do you a favor if he liked you. He'd help you out and do anything in the world for you. And he just didn't have too much. And he'd help you do something if you wanted it done and wouldn't charge you nothing. Somebody else wanted him to help, you know, drive cow. He's a good horseman. He'd get his horse, you know, and help pin the cow, you know. Back in then, they had those, what's called open range.
Yeah.
You know, and he had the most of all that country all back then. Some of that pretty wild range. In fact, one time, that's when that Western cowboy came in there, and they had some more cowboy there, more cow, and had one or two shooting matches back there. A duel, you know, what you call it, you know, sick gun, you know, kind of like sick gun territory. And that man, they say, he could shoot from the hip, the man that came in there from Texas. But I was just a young boy then, wasn't Tuck. He's a lot older than I am. He's a lot older than you are, too, Tuck. He's in his 70s, I reckon.
I imagine.
Yeah. But he was a young man then, wasn't I? Just a kid, because my older brother, they were riding, wasn't we? Had a couple of good horses. My older brother, he's 10 years old now. He's 70 years old. So I reckon Tuck must be right around 70.
One of his sidekicks, don't you know, he died not long ago. He lived out there past him. Who was he?
Elvin Bruton.
I don't know him.
Yeah, that's who it was, I imagine.
Who is he?
He's the one that carried the mail for 20 or 30 years.
Oh.
And had the farm, and he's the one that burned up. I hope I'll never see her again.
Oh,
I was one of the first one to it.
Oh.
Terrible. Cooked in black.
Oh, really?
Yeah, then it didn't burn the sole to the heel of his shoe, but it burnt the leather off his shoes, even. Burnt all the clothes off of it.
And that was one of Tuck's old sidekicks.
Uh-huh. Elvin was pretty old and Tuck. Elvin, I believe they said Elvin was 80, right close to 80 years old. But he carried the mail, and they drank that whiskey together. Elvin drank it, and Tuck, you know, used to drink a little too. And the old man drank it. He had to keep the toddies. That's bulk night. And he'd get one or two toddies in, that's when he'd get mad. But that's when Inez, she's a likable sort of Tuck's wife. And told me not to pay any attention to her daddy, to go ahead and the key, you know, would be hanging on the post, you know, at the bottom of the post where the hinges are. And just go on through, and I went back there to go fishing. I believe I had a T model then. Model T Ford. And I put them big tires on it, and you could, you know, as long as you keep clutching the thing, you could go anyplace with the deadly thing. You know what? You've seen the team.
And it wasn't too much of the clutch.
That's right. But you had to keep the clutch and burn it out while just cut your belt off. I'll take my belt and cut it, you know, and take that cover off the transmission.
Yeah.
And cut, you know, a piece of the belt and put it underneath that belt, you know, and it,
yeah,
it'll grab then, though, as you come on out of there. I was a mechanic then, you know. You know how to do that, did you?
I bet you did.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Eric, when you, in them days, though, a fella could afford to take a drink every now and then. out way out there where it didn't matter.
That's right. Well, that's where they live, in other words. And it was that moonshine, you know, most of them were drinking, and they didn't say much about it. Elvin, he'd keep a little for his friend, just like that old darky. That was way back on that darky had it. That boy just come out of service.
Yeah.
And that was in the, what was that, 40s? When was that, the war? That thing ended in the 40s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
See, that's 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And they had a little moonshine whiskey, you know, made around, and I wasn't a drinking man, but they said it was better than what you could buy, you know, the bonded liquor, you see.
Yes. And then they get it to somebody in the neighborhood, they tell me that old man Rawlinson up there.
That's right.
What made the best.
Yeah. Rawlinson and Turner boy, you know, and Clark Rawlinson, brother and his daddy, too.
Yeah.
And them Turner boys, they ate over yonder them rivers. They ate on that prairie. Where was that thing there where they had that? That was on Richardson's Fish Prairie. I get tangled up. Where is that Fish Prairie?
Right back there.
Yeah.
I'm back up on it.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, we used to go in there duck hunting, in other words, and we was in there one time, you know, through Richardson, that crossed that railroad.
It used to be bigger than now.
We crossed that railroad, you know, and we turned off, went through the woods there, in other words, and somebody, we saw the steel.
Yeah.
That's been a long time ago, in other words, and we saw the old steel, you know, it wasn't operating, but you say it was a whiskey steel back in the wood before we went out, you know, in the kind of a tussie, where we land our boat and get out there and park, you know, to kill the ducks.
Yeah.
And we'd kill them, too. They'd run them off Orange Lake and everything. They'd just settle in there, and you'd get your gun hot. You know, shoot.
Yeah. Well, now, a lot of times the sheriff or the revenue people didn't bother you.
That's right. Well, it wasn't hurting nobody. It didn't seem like then, but now and then, why, it's a penalty, in other words.
If you got too bold about it, I guess they was always kind of... Flip your wing.
But tell me, in other words, back, you know, a little further back towards the hammock and the coast, it's still, you know, they do very well over there with it yet, still holding. That is up and down the coast, so that is from Cross City to Gulf Hammock and Cedar Key and all on in that to, Walker Sassy, I believe they call it.
What happened? Old Chitty, what's his name over there? Henry? Henry Chitty?
Yeah. Is that right, bad? Is that right, girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, he's always been uptown. He's not a country boy.
No. Mm-mm. No, you can tell. He's still uptown boy.
Is he?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's got one of those
So he don't really know what goes on out here.
Well, Jeanette was going to try to put him to work, in other words, but I don't know what effort she made, in other words. Them people, they believe in working. Jeanette does, and she may work some of that fat off.
Well,
he broke in if he will heat it, in other words, but he may not take it, in other words.
Well, he don't know anything about this.
No. But he can learn, I reckon, if he's willing to, but he may be like you said a minute ago, the younger boy don't want to learn too much about this stuff.
Well, he don't have to.
He don't have to. He's got enough money, and she, you know, got all she wants, and looking at the pawpaw, as you said, and got that, thousand, 2,000 acre lease from her daddy, in other words, the head part, in other words.
Yeah.
Used it there next to me.
Well, now, what does she know?
Well, she's a graduate.
She knows cattle.
Yeah, she knows cattle and farming and.
Does she know farming?
Yeah, she knows farming fairly good. Yeah.
What does she know about farming?
Well, she knows how to take care of the grass and pastures, fertilization. And then she taught one or two classes in animal science.
That's all she need to know. Yeah. Just that. The hay.
But what she's doing? Why? That's all she needs to know, I imagine. But she wants the man, in other words. She wants him to mow and do this, that, and the other, and do the odds and ends, in other words, and build tolls and help with everything else.
Well, who does the selling and everything over there?
She does. Jeanette usually does almost all of it. Henry can do some of it, but Henry's more or less on the Aberdeen Angus Association board.
Yeah.
He talks, you know, and all. He would Jeanette forgot more about cows than Henry ever learned, you know, most anyone, I tell you.
Well,
that,
have you talked to him?
Henry?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've talked to him a number of times.
He knows enough about him to talk about him.
Oh, yes, he can do that. Sure he can. But I mean, far as, you know, being a judge, knowing about an animal and the fish, you know, of course they got the record of it. He can look at them and tell you, you know, but Nanette works all that deal out. She's got the book running, too.
Yeah.
You know, she had that in school, too.
Well, now,
but the fishing, the testing, that 140 days and about the age of the bulls, and Jeanette's memory, in other words, just like her granddaddy was, a mile long.
Oh, really?
She can look at a calf out there only on a 50 head and tell you the whole pedigree in about 3 minutes.
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. And her granddaddy was the same way. If he had one cow missing out of 1,000 head, he'd know which one it was and tell you, describe the cow.
Well,
that's remarkable how people had raised, you know, been around them. In the open rain, like you were talking about, if he had the other side of that hammock over yonder, this guff hammock, a big hammock, and that barred hammock up on where Tuck is. But this here on the Johnson Lake side, it starts on, you know, back of Chitty yonder, and goes all the way back, you know, to, nearly to Williston. And that was open rain for that round, in other words, and on the old Gall, Hall Bear Field, and old Sand Hill, in other words, where they get out and get a little bit of picking old wild grass, and old, what you call this old broom sage grass and this old salt grass, you know, they burn off, you know, and it come up, you know, when it's tender, cows eat it, get a little good out of it. That's where Zet Rowell raised all the head and kept his cows. And he ride, you know, and hire them boys out there and the young kids to ride with him through them bushes and swamps. And he could, you know, tell when the cows were missing.
Yeah.
And it didn't cost him anything. Some of them would die in old age.
Yeah, that's Jeanette's daddy?
Uh huh. Jeanette's granddaddy. Albert daddy.
Her granddaddy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's where she
Albert,
gets
Albert,
that.
Her daddy. Albert, he's he's just about 10 years old now. Albert about 7. Imagine Albert about 7 years old.
But
Albert about only 10 years old.
Is he, he's pretty good, but he ain't like his granddaddy.
No, no.
Her granddaddy.
No, he and his Jeanette got him beat, in other words, about remembering, in other words, and knowing different things, and about knowing cows too. She got a daddy beat.
Well, where does she spend the time? Just over there at her place?
Yeah, that's right. That's where she spends it.
She doesn't come out there to barbecue?
Fixing fence and everything. No. No, she don't get out. Just like Albert. He don't get out too much.
If anybody wants to see
they don't visit with him too much. If anybody wants to see him, they go and they're glad to have you and they'll talk to you. And you don't watch out, they'll sell you a $1,000 bull right quick.
Yeah.
Going away. She'll say you're angry. No, and you said yours.
Yeah.
That old boy says, what you need? He said, he needs a good ball like yours and like Nixon, Maxie.
Yeah.
He said, one of them good thick Angus bulls, in other words, with a lawn on him, said he'd get some calves, in other words, off of these, you know, good cows of yours.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I know he got some good cows. He knows cows pretty good, too. That boy went to school with Jeanette about 4 years. That boy named... what is that boy name? Mad Pat, Pat Young. Frazee.
Yeah.
Buddy Frazee.
Yeah.
I'd say the boy around 40 years old, between 35 and 40. He may be close to 40. Because Pat's on up there in the age, Pat 35 or 36. I'd say he's close to 40.
Yeah.
But I believe he said he knew you.
Well, now,
he's at the barbecue, and he's the one that stole the cow from. And I asked another night, I said, you ever hear anything about the cows? No, he said, but you know, they were pretty nice to them, but they left the 3 heifers and 1 bull. But they got 29 head all at one time.
Man, that's really going.
Oh,
and as that man said up there, the auctioneer Gamble, he hit me on the shoulder, old Buddy Clark.
Yeah.
Buddy hit me on the shoulder and said, Smith, I've been knowing you up there in Georgia. You come to that cockle with them high powered pole cows. I'd buy you a steak and kind of look out for you. You're a country boy and long way from home. But he says, you know, that kind of people that we need to get off the streets. And he said, we cattlemen all were blown this thing and they're taking our money and your money and mine and everybody else. Of course, he said, I'm one of the organization here, this I'm a member of this organization. I'm an auctioneer, but I'm into the deal too. But he says, I'm kind of people we need to get them off the street. And he hit me on the shoulder. I said, well, you in a position where you can talk more than I can. You need to get the cattleman on the ball. And I'm going to look out for a little fellow like Buddy Frazier and myself. You know, I've lost one or two people killed and butchered, I figured, in the past. And I said, catch these kind of people. We got one or two of my neighborhood that'll do it now. And one of the boys this morning, he said, he saw that hind leg of that calf head. I told him I paid $70-some-odd for it. And said, you ought to donate that to the community, the poor people community, and invite us around to eat on it. And after he left out, he said, that's the one night you better watch this. Ben McLaughlin got him, you know, and his daddy hushed it up. And his uncle is on the police force down there, too, and he said, you know, it's who you know now where you can get out of trouble. That's what this fellow told me. I said, yeah, that's right. And they just hushed it up, in other words. But Ben, he's right along the same boat. He's stealing cows from old Richard working up at university. Richard teaching some kind of class out there with some little boy in some kind of farming deal or plot business or something, teaching them something. I don't know whether you learn them anything or not, but Ben stole some of his cows. He had 60 head. And he got out there. He said, you know my cows. No, I sure don't. I said, I'd been around them more than working over here, I would have, but I wasn't interested in cows. I'd put up fence and using their tractor, just, I told you, just like yours, digging a hole with it, in other words, and I stretched a wire with it. He said, you can't do that. You'll pull it in two. I said, well, you can if you don't know what to handle, how to handle the clutch. You can tear it up. But I said, as long as it's got brakes on it, in other words, when you handle it right, well, that's the easiest way to do it. And well, they said, I'm learning something every day. Mm-hmm. But Ben stole some of his cows.
Why, I never heard of
what that. Is this? What sort of fellow was, what was his name, Simonton Ranch over there? What was his name, Uncle?
Jimmy, Uncle Jimmy Simonton.
Uncle Jimmy?
Yeah.
Now, who did he, who do you associate him with? Uncle Billy Simonton. Uncle Jimmy
Simonton? Well, he kind of helped out that Denton boy.
Yeah.
Ben Denton.
Yeah.
He came in, the old fella had a little money.
Yeah.
And he was, I guess he was a Dutch or Irish. One, he acted more like a Dutch. He's a little man.
Oh, was he?
Yes, sir. But he's a good-hearted fella, and he knew his cattle. And he started off with a good bloodline of Angus cattle, and that's the way he got into it, and he raised good cows, and he liked Jeanette. He had a good deal of talk about him, and people would come just like do the Jeanette from everywhere, you know, and buy the bulls.
Yeah.
And he sold a world of bulls, and he had some good breed of Angus cattle.
Well,
some depth that gave them milk and got some size to them. Wasn't a guinea, in other words. Now, this ex-sheriff and up here, why he ran into trouble, called his a dwarf in guinea.
Yeah.
That's Jimmy Ramsey. You know him,
yeah.
I reckon, too.
Yeah.
Well, Simonton, he had a good strain of cattle, and people bought them, and Huff bought this bull from me, and I got one of the best bulls that I ever had outside the one that I got now.
Oh, is that right?
And, of course, this one I got now, I raised this bull here.
Well,
also
now,
from,
how did Uncle Jimmy get all
bull.
That land?
Well, he had a little money when he came here.
Well, he got several sections of land
yeah.
back there, didn't he?
Yeah, he did have, yeah. Of course, it split up. Now.
And it's all beautiful
Hannah
land.
Got some of it, and Baron Denton got some, and Billy Richardson got some.
And it's all beautiful, heavy
hemp land. It is that. And I believe Herlong got a little of that land,
yeah,
didn't I believe?
Yeah, Herlong
right
got
on the other
it,
side.
Yeah.
So like you say, you own the whole section. I reckon more than a section than that.
Several sections.
Several sections. They like them
yeah.
set right. But that's where he got it. Now, he got a lot of head, I reckon, the same way as Albert's daddy did, I reckon.
Yeah.
Is that is going to the courthouse and knowing the man and paying the taxes on it. You know, 25 cents on the acre.
Yeah.
You got a little money, you know, back in those days. You used to take a quarter, you know, make it mount something.
It didn't take much to get a little start.
Well,
I tell you.
I got to get in. We'll talk some more.
Let me tell you.
I want to
drop by there sometime when you're there and just see one of some of your cows.
Right.
And you know, kind of get a look at your place. I never
right.
even looked at it in the daytime.
Do that. Come on by. Anytime you'd like to. You see the bull outside the road, you know, several people bagged on him.
I saw him at a distance.
At Alan Becker. You know him? Alan Becker, you know. I said, well, if you don't move them heifers out of that place over there, my bull going, you know, have you some calves, them heifers, them young heifers weigh about 500-600 pounds.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I said, yeah, the two of them move around my place down. They come across a ditch and a double fence. But I said, I'm keeping the bull away from that, like Mixon, in other words. I'm keeping away from Mixon bull on the backside there. Well, mine gave Mixon trouble at one time, and Max said, he'd bring about $200 for beef, I'll just buy him from you. That's what Max told me.
Yeah.
I said, no, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to sell him, because he's giving you too much trouble and giving me trouble. But my fence, and Max wanted me to build another fence, and I said, that's my fence, it is. And it's your job to keep posting it and put another barb on it. But then he told me to buy the barbed wire, and he put it up. Well, I bought the barbed wire, and he put it up, sure enough. Mm-hmm. But you know how a bull is, in other words, it don't matter what kind of fence they have, if one wants to go, why, you take one like mine and like yours out there, he can go through any fence you got, any fence that I got, either one. My bull will do the same thing if he wants to. He come to his house if he wants to.
Sure.
Not in the mine, well, yours will too if you wanted to.
Yeah. Once they do it, that's the end.
That's right. But I went on and he wound up, in other words, going in the Elbert Zet Rouse. And went around there, and my sides on that big truck of mine were 4-inch, you know, sides. It was made, you know, hauling peanuts and oranges and hauling, you know, ordinary cows. Now, but I never hauled too many cows, but I hauled watermelons and, you know, with a low side on it, what's on the body now. And the high side, I hauled corn, air corn and peanuts and light stuff, all watermelon material. I sent that truck and had about $600 worth of material on it, and Martin Chitty drove it to South Carolina. He brought that thing up there in 9 hours. I actually had to have 2 or 3 beers on his hide. No, we didn't drink a can. We drank soda water. He enjoyed smoke, brought it up there. And I told him, boy, I got him a room, in other words, and I paid the boys rain or shine, both of them. You know, take care of my truck and haul water. But
I have no idea what hours they keep. Now, see, Sunday he's pretty well occupied, you know, at church one place or another.
That's Easter.
Yeah.
I mean any Sunday.
Yeah, well, most of that's right. But
Saturdays, you knock around almost anywhere.
Well, not too much, because I haven't. That's usually when I used to go fishing, but I haven't gotten a fishing fever so far. Now they're biting on those big old thick brim are biting.
Yeah.
And my sister-in-law likes to fish, and she got the plenty of equipment when to go. But I've been with her a couple of times, but I haven't had too much fever about going fishing.
Yeah.
But usually, whether I'm home on a Saturday, and whether it be all right, Saturday afternoon, something like that.
I sometime when we can get off a minute. I put out 3 tons of fertilizer this afternoon.
I saw the sack.
This morning, really.
I saw the bag in the trailer underneath the shed. I already emptied the bag, looks like.
Yeah.
Well,
I got another couple of tons. You know, it's some little job to put them out, especially for yourself. Well, if you rig for it, don't. I'll tell you the easiest way is to go ahead and get it in your pickup truck and take your truck right out there.
That's where I'll do.
And then you never do have to lift it.
I know.
You just scoot it.
That's right.
With all this lifting, you see, as much desk work as I do, I'm not.
Well, in the pickup, it's low enough when you put it off the side where I do, and then you use the easy flow, or you got a whirl?
I don't have an easy flow. I got that, don't have a whirl. I got that thing there.
Knocker?
I don't know what you call it. I never saw it.
That's a fan, I reckon, isn't it? You got a fan on the...
No, it's got a nose. And it just
that's real good.
Mm-hmm.
Sews it just like that.
Well, that's like on these trucks, like, but it what turned it? The gear housing or something?
I'll have to show it to you.
Yeah.
Well, instead of having the whirly thing, you've got a long nose that goes like that all the time, is it?
Well, it's like a knocker on the fertilizer strips, in other words.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen the old fertilizer knockers, haven't you? It go up and down like this here. That's that similar to that. Only that thing that goes like this.
I got it from old Red Smith down there, and he said it was a British made. and they made it for export.
Good evening, man.
I'll tell you guys, he says Saturday's a pretty good day. Friday's the best day we've got. You know, we
well,
enjoy
I know he's off.
Yeah.
It was
during the
week.
And maybe in another week or so, I may be like your mother, in other words. I may be over yonder, in other words, except on weekend. I may probably come home weekend to check my cows. Now,
we
got
tomorrow. Miss Mixon's, you know, over there at Max's and look at those. We haven't been over there.
That's right.
Yeah. They'd be glad to have you again.
Well,
really
see,
be
I know what to go over there because he puts his cows in of a morning. And
but you see my calves and the bull on the old side of the road there. You know, you go along. Of course, you've seen Max's bull.
Yeah.
I reckon you have, haven't you?
Well,
you've seen one, I reckon, Max's, haven't you?
Yeah.
But he's got some cows. His cows are a lot better than mine. Mine is.
But he puts
I got a few old ones, I'm going to sell them, and I got one or two I'm going to cook or get a little age on them.
But it'd be easy to find him.